keep your lamb. Trimmed and burning, keep your lamb.
Mountain top. He placed those laws right there in Moses' hand. He stamped the commandments in Moses' mind. He said, Moses, you better not leave my land behind. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, you follow me down by the Jordan stream. Jordan River is chilly and cold, chilled my little body, but it didn't chill my soul. Well, one of these old mornings, it won't be long, you're gonna look for me, the poor soul will be gone.
We are the land. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your holy name.
Like a bride waiting for. Hi. I'm not ready. I'm just not ready. I'm not really ready to start the show. I just looked at the headlines, and there's a whole list of them. And I haven't really looked at it all yet. I don't know what today's going to be. But this is Jerry. Hi. How are you? We have a new former lurker in chat. We have Red Breaking News, who says he's been a guest. He's been one of the guests all the time. But anyway, he's logged on as Red Breaking News, and he's got a Twitter, which is Red Breaking News. Where to start? I'm a little bit emotional right now just because of stuff in the last couple hours. A ton of flirts today and last night, and Tana had a great insight. I know Pat's had some a lot of concerns about her daughter today. She's on the line. Let's say hi in chat to Red Breaking News and Rosemary and Carol. Hi, y'all. I've got a few things to offer today. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do it. And usually when that happens, God sort of takes over and I don't have to do much of anything. It just sort of happens. So we'll see what happens today. And Rosemary's saying, no flirts here either, or I'm too dumb to realize. Carol said she hadn't had any flirts. Well, like I said, I wasn't ready. I know I'm not ready. Let me bring Mama Pat on. Let's say hi to her. Hi, Pat.
Guys. Yeah, just keep Gerald in prayer. I'll know tomorrow about liver transplants or liver transplant to save her life, So just leave it in God's hands. And I took a lot of fluid out of her and stuff. So plus they, oh, dear God. The ambulance took her. So Laura and I went over to Dover to go see her. And we went to the booth where you get the pass. And I said, oh, no, she's in emergency. I said, I just called emergency. She's in her room. They said, then poor Laura had to push me in the wheelchair because I can't breathe and stuff. And we get down to emergency. They said, oh, yes, she's in room 106 in Denville. That's like 12 miles more, So we couldn't go because Laura was on a break. See, the wrong hospital. Nobody told us. Nobody told us she wasn't in Dover. And the ambulance said they were taking her to Dover. So, I mean, what a wasted trip. What? And Laura had to go back to work, and I'm in my car. I can't go by myself, so we have to go tomorrow after Laura's work. We're going tomorrow to see her in Denville, New Jersey, at St. Clair's. So it's totally insane. But I talked to her on the phone.
That's disturbing.
She's okay. Yeah, it is. Nobody told me.
Nobody.
We went all over the place, and nobody had the right information. Well, oh, we're sorry. And Gerald says, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you. Like, what? And it just adds to the crazy days we're all having. We're being tested and charged to the hilt. It's
true.
So tomorrow, so then Gerald says, oh, well, she says, they're talking about a liver transplant. She says, I'll do that. And it's like, yeah, wait a minute. That's not so easy as you think. He says, don't go away and go pick out your liver out of a freezer,
No, let's go shopping,
right. Like, oh, well, we're going to put... wait a minute. That's serious. What if there isn't a liver?
Yeah.
I mean, if she needs half of mine, I'll give her half of mine. You know, I don't care. It's like you give somebody a kidney, It's going to save her life, You might as well get some good out of me. Because it regenerates, But they took tons of fluids out of her. We thought it was water retention. It was from all the cirrhosis. Her stomach is descended like if she was having twins. That's how
descended,
big she was.
Extended, yeah. Uh-huh.
Extended,
wow.
Whatever the word is. Very bad. So she's in pretty good spirits, and she's very sweet, but she hasn't been doing her blood work. She hadn't tested her blood. She lied to me about her doing her blood work and stuff. So I said, And I'm thinking, you know, either I'm going to have a nurse come in when you come back, or you're going to be in a nursing home for a while, because I can't run around. I can't do stairs. It's not that I'm trying to cop out, but I can't take care of you. I had to try to help her get dressed this morning, and it was like killing me. You know, with my back and my knees and everything else, and breathing.
I couldn't do it. Right, you're sick.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you're sick too.
No, just the breathing. I can't do stuff.
Oh, I see.
If I'm in bed and I just turn from my side over on my back, and Judy will relate to that, I'm suffocating. And it's because of this whooping cough thing that it's destroyed my sister's and my lung. That's what the doctor said. And there's no cure. Mm-hmm. We have to just have inhalers. So cute, you know, cute. Heaven looks good to me. I'll be able to breathe.
I tell you, it's looking better to me every day. You know, I can't complain. I mean, I don't know. Someday it'll just have to be explained for me. But
you know what? Close to me, Jared. I mean, Jesus is so close to me. He's so close to me. I can feel his presence. Even though I've shed tears I have tons of people praying for me online. I have wonderful friends beside RCC. I also have other people that are praying for me. So God's got it covered. It's whether I hold up.
Right.
Which I'm drawn to.
Right.
Well, I am. I'm okay. I'm okay. But she could die. I mean, come on, guys. That's the bottom line. She could die.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Because her liver will just totally, totally go. And I have to be prepared for that, okay? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that's my main thing, is her not making it. I mean, she'll be with the Lord. She loves Jesus. She believes in the whole nine yards. But, you know, that's not, to me, that's not the answer. She's got a boyfriend who loves her.
Yeah.
She's got twin boys who love her. Her kids or something.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
But she's not taking care of herself. She's not doing her diabetes right. She lies.
Not setting a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm up against. Yeah. Well, get me some sugar or get me this or get me that. No, you can't have it. And she'll sneak it in if she can. That she's killing herself. Uh-huh. I'm done. Just keep her in prayer. I'll know more tomorrow. It's in God's hands. That's it. That's it. Bottom line. He's got it.
Well, we know
this. I have to trust.
I sent you an email, Pat, and... that really said it all as far as I was concerned. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. You know, we'll have to see. But in the meantime, you've got your daily dramas like ending up at the wrong hospital and all that nonsense.
Oh, it was today.
So,
And then she says, they're talking, do I want a liver transplant? And I'm going like, well, what? God, nobody called me. Nobody asked me. Not the doctor, not nobody. They can't even get what hospital in right. So, I mean, who's going to talk to me about a liver, you know? Dear God.
Yeah.
And these are good hospitals.
Right.
They're top of the rate, top rating hospitals. Anyway, so tomorrow I'll have more. I'll just send off a quick email and let you guys know what's happening. I just hope she makes it, you know. I just hope she lives. I just hope she lives. She's that sick. She's that sick.
Well,
It's in God's hands.
One way or the other.
I'm glad
I think so.
If I had to do this without faith, I think you'd have to bury me. You know, I wouldn't make it. I would not make it.
What happens without faith? You find a way to make it because that's our instinct, but you become calloused. You become calloused. And you are the opposite of calloused, and it shows how much Jesus you have. That's how we become not calloused is by embracing our faith rather than our defenses.
Like last night, I just felt that he was holding me in his arms. He kept me in his arms. I could feel that. You know, you can feel the spiritual. I've never seen him, but I could feel that spiritual that he was holding me. He had me for hours and hours through the night till 3 a.m. He just held me. I was awake. I can't sleep. And telling me, just trust me. He loves to say that. Did he say that to you guys? Trust me. He says, I'm looking at it. Will you trust me? Just trust me. No matter what happens, I've got this. Just trust me. No matter what
That's
you have to go through,
right.
trust me. Even if it's pain and tears, trust me. And if she dies, trust me. They didn't say that. I'm saying that. If it comes to that, then that was his will. It's her time to go. She's 49 in March. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's up to him.
Yeah.
Sometimes he takes us, sometimes he doesn't. You know. I'm not going to have a cow over it. Yeah.
I will, but I won't. I it's a lot to deal with, no doubt. That's obvious.
I lost my son
but
at age 30.
And he did give me an assurance of what I put in the email, so we'll see.
But the thing is,
it's interesting. I sent an email just yesterday, Pat, to one of your friends that I've corresponded with, and a lot of anxiety about work and things like that.
Tammy,
and she had asked, quite a while ago, to sort of take a step up in her walk with God, and she's been facing a lot of challenges, and I think she's had a lot of anxiety about it because kind of her world has kind of been rocked a little bit. And
she's got her daughter.
And I said, when she sent me an email the other day, I could tell she was kind of freaked out some of the stuff she was telling me. And I've totally seen that. And I said, look, you asked, this is a spiritual battle. Above all things, this is a battle of the spirit. It manifests in the physical, but it's a battle of the spirit. And so when you are being challenged, you can be challenged in kind of weird, freaky ways. And, there are things, things can connect, and you experience them as if they're connected, but you can't imagine that they really ought to be and really are. But when you start experiencing things like that, it's good. And her case also, she was being challenged to walk day by day and to disregard a lot of the static of the junk, even the spiritual stuff that was going on around her, and to just trust him. In other words, the Lord was allowing her to be challenged and so that she could identify the difference between her anxiety and walking in faith. And that was actually pretty clear. And all our circumstances are really different. All I know is we're all really, really experiencing it. And in a sense, the world's experiencing it too, right? It's just that the world experiences differently, and they really don't. In many respects, they don't know what the heck's going on because, quite frankly, they don't have a spiritual perspective. Anyway, let me Tana's on the line. Let me bring on Tana.
Okay,
say
sure.
Hi, Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi, I love you all. I'm sorry for all this you're going through, Mama Pat. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus,
thank you,
for being with Mama Pat and comforting her and bringing her peace. And thank you for healing Geraldine. We know you got this. Your hands are in it for your glory,
definitely.
Abba. So we love you, Jesus.
Yes.
We love you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Tana.
Amen. Thank you, Tana. Oh.
So, Tana, you, a little while ago, you were sending out some texts about 2015 and 16, and it would simplify things if you would just, for me, if you would just share that with everybody, because I thought it was really cool.
It all came about because I was chatting with Stacy, and she had that dream. Well, it's 1-1-1 today, but she had that dream of, and she had posted something about 1-1-1, and then it got me thinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then I just the Holy Spirit had me add up. I wonder what 2016 adds up to, and it turned out it was 9/11, and she had that dream about the twin towers and the one rising, representing 9/11. And then the ball kept rolling, oh my gosh, 2015 then is 8. So then 8, 9, so 2015, so 2 plus 1 plus 5 is 8. So that would be 8, and then 2 plus 6 plus 1 is 9. So then it brought me to Jerry's 8-9 calendar dream. And we're technically, like, by Julian and even Enoch calendar, we're technically not in 2015 yet. I mean, 2016 yet. We're still in 2015. So technically,
right.
We still are in 8. And then Jerry's had the cleaver cutting off after they separating the 9, I believe, right, Jerry? And so then that would be the 9. So 2016 would be 9. So 2015 is the 8, and then 2016 is the 9. And technically, in Enoch and Julian, we're not even in 2016 yet. So that would make it 8. And then I think the 13th or 14th is the cutoff, making it for Julian the 31st and 1st of, 31st meaning the 2015 and 30, and then the 1st being 2016. So we're technically not there yet, but we're almost there in Julian calendar for Jerry's 8-9 cutoff.
Yeah, so let me repeat that real quick. What you were looking at the 8 and the 9, and then a long time ago, Judy was led to look at the Julian calendar, and that's a 13-day offset. And a 13-day offset, obviously, from the change of the year, is the 13th, and so that would be a transition, potential transition time. Tana, had you, by any chance, had you, I'm looking at something else. Had you heard the show from last night?
I heard it. And then, so I heard something how you thought about the 13th,
yeah.
And then...
Yep.
Then I watched Peter John's video and his the thing said for him like the 13th is like the transition is the 13th for Peter John. He had January 13th as some important date, and I don't remember why, but I'm like, I wonder if Jerry had the 13th for some reason and Peter John had the 13th, and then I know Jason Jason had the 14th. He's like, he thought we'd be gone anytime between. The time he sent me the email on the 14th of January was his latest date. So,
Well, that's good. Yeah, I don't even remember right now the 13th. I do this stuff these days as a sort of a. It's not in the forefront. It's in the background, and I sort of go off and I do it. And then, then I go on with the other things that are in front of me. But, anyway, thanks, Tana, for going through that, because it's very interesting, the thought process, for sure.
One last thing Michelle brought up, because Michelle was in this text exchange. She was saying how Jerry's 8th, 9th was on Wednesday, Thursday, and that would be the timing of the 8-9 cutoff of 2015 to 2016, I think, was it according to Julian calendar?
Yeah.
And then it's also the same as Enoch. It's also Wednesday, Thursday for Enoch, which would make it December, 27th, 28th would be Wednesday, Thursday, which would make it possibly 31st. It's January 28th, 7/28th would make it possibly December 31st, first, or it could be the 26th, 27th. But one of them is Wednesday, Thursday exchange as well, the 27-day offset.
Right. The 27-day offset thing, I kind of got lost track there. And partly it's just all this other stuff going on with me tonight, especially this afternoon or this evening. It's I'm going to sort of floundering around here trying to figure out what I'm going to say about it or how to – here's the thing. I mentioned last night about the 8th, the 13th, like you said, and I mentioned the 8th and 9th thing. And after the show, I went back and looked at some calendars and transposed some things. And it led me to possibly the 18th this year, the 18th of January. So I ended up, after the show last night, with kind of a date set of the 18th of January. The weird thing is, there's been stuff popping out ever since then, and I don't really know quite what it means. And so I'm just kind of going to go through this stuff, and I can't even tell you I'm attaching, other than there's no doubt, I wouldn't be mentioning these things if I didn't know they were forged from God, but I do not know. I'm not sure what to do with this because, we have the 13th, and then last night I was kind of led to the 18th, and then I got something yet again that related to the 18th, but takes us, it sort of creates a date set in early February, and I'm like, since when do I get all these date sets? I haven't really been getting date sets for a long time, and not this way.
Can I just say something? Because the 18th is the 27 day offset for the 13th of January is actually December 18th. Like it's around there, 17th, because it's the 15th right now in the 27 day offset of December. So there's an 18 there.
There is an 18, but it wasn't the number 18. It was. Let me try to go through this and see if I can do it. I don't even know if I can do it.
Tomorrow would be the 12th, would be Mama Pep 16. Technically, it would be December 16th.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see what I can do here. I started thinking about this January 8-9 thing, and I can't even remember why right now. Something about it. Oh, I know. Sometimes I try to go back and look at the Jewish dates, the Jewish calendar dates from other years, and sometimes that can be a clue. And so I'm looking around and I'm thinking, and almost always, and it's quite understandable that we do this, when we get these flirts or leadings about dates or other things, there's a really strong tendency to look forward. And I mentioned last night that the 8-9 thing was either late January or late December, early January. And I quite naturally interpreted it as being January, the coming month, and possibly the 8th or 9th. So I described that last night. And the one thing that was different about it at the time, in other words, a year ago, I saw the calendar page and the 8 and the 9 and the meat cleaver come down between the two, but it was on the days were offset, I think, one day. In my dream, it was a Wednesday and a Thursday. The way the days were placed on the calendar, and last year's calendar had the days placed on a Thursday and a Friday. The 8th and 9th were a Thursday and a Friday. And I thought, well, okay. At the time, I wasn't sure what to do with that. But I decided to go back and look at 2014, because 2014, the end of 2013 and the beginning of 2014, honestly, I was thinking about the anniversary of the first show, which was on the 21st of January, 2014. And so that would be, for example, that's the 20th of Shavuot, the Jewish month. Now, it's garage work, okay? It's garage kid work. And so sometimes we get clues. We don't know what they are. Sometimes we get clues that turn into a bigger picture. And I think we've had a lot of clues that we know were very strong and real, and we still don't know what picture they're a part of. But I went back to 2014, and the first thing I noticed was that the 8th and the 9th of January in 2014 were on Wednesday and Thursday. They fit exactly the pattern I saw in that vision, in that dream of the meat cleaver. They exactly in the right place. And I also noted the Jewish days of the month, which were the 7th and the 8th of Shavuot. And that really, it kind of shocked me a little bit. But what I'm saying is, this was also, let me hold off on that. But anyway, so the seventh and the eighth of Shvat, it may be something to look back on, is what I'm saying. Because the way I saw the calendar is exactly the way January of 2014 was, not January of 2015. And so it may be that the whole point of that clue was actually to go backwards, not forwards, as a reference. And let me look one thing real here. Excuse me. And I'm going to look one more year here. Anyway, when I went forward, if you will, hold on. When I went forward to this year and I looked at the 7th and 8th of Shvat, that's the 17th and the 18th. And so I ended up at the 18th. And so that was kind of last night. Well, something else happened last night, and one of the things that was happening to me a really notable number of times while I was on vacation was I kept seeing 11:11 or 1:11. And, you know, I don't go around, I don't look at the clock every 5 minutes. You know, those of us who experience the repeating number thing, I mean, you know, if you look at the clock 100 times and you see something that you note once, and that's not a shock. But really, you know, I don't go around looking at the clock. And the timing, right. You just sort of feel it. You just sort of know it's like. And so last night, there's a clock in my bedroom, and I hadn't looked at it all evening. I'd been in and out of there a few times. I hadn't looked at it, but I was shuffling around, and I didn't get to bed till later. And I went in there and turned because I was looking for something that was near the clock, and I looked straight at the clock, and it was exactly 11:11. I'm like, oh, that, because I hadn't really seen much of that for a few days. And I've seen a few things, but anyway. The thing was, so then I go about my business. I'm doing other stuff. I'm not even in that room. And then finally, it's time for me to go to bed, and which is to say I was just done with everything because I didn't have a set time. And I went into the bathroom. I came out. I looked at the clock. It was 1:11. So the two times I actually looked at the clock all night, it was 11:11 and 1:11. Okay. And I was like, okay, you know, I just said, you know, I just, there's no doubt I noted it. It's just like, you know, but oftentimes I'm just like, okay, you know, I get the flirt, but I don't, you know, I'm not sure what to make of it. And I wasn't thinking about what day it was or anything. So today I get up, I start looking at stuff, and I realize it's the 11th of January, 1:11. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And that's the way kind of the day has been. Now that's just sort of a lead in to today. So then, you know, the news this morning, all over the news, because it's just like, you know, the Hollywood Reporter or something these days. Celebrity news, David Bowie died. So it's reported that David Bowie died, and the musician, and so I'm thinking, wow, I'm driving around this afternoon and just flipping through the radio, and I listened to two shows that were starting that were sports shows. I just happened to hear them, and I was just flipping around. Both of them, the first thing they talked about was David Bowie. I'm like, seriously? This is a sports show. We're talking about David Bowie? And one of them doesn't surprise me. But anyway, I'll editorialize if I go on. Anyway, the point is, it's just like, wow, this is interesting. So then I come back and I see a couple headlines about David Bowie, and he had just released a couple of days ago his latest album. And apparently this is something that we're told he pulled himself together and did this last album. And there's some very interesting things about this album. It's out of the ordinary, even for him. And there's like apparently several songs on this album which can be interpreted as sort of forecasting his death. And the name of the album is Black Star. And it's the only album he's ever released that did not, where the cover art was not some kind of picture in him and some unusual appearance. This is literally a black star. And I ran across a story about the last song on the album, which is called Lazarus. And I'm reading, haven't seen it yet, but I'm reading about the music video. And I'm captivated by sorry, there's audio. Rosemary's audio is slow. And sorry, Rosemary. It's a very unusual thing, and I just get the sense that maybe, like, his last, there's a comment there about, he says, if you're looking for me, I'll be in heaven. And now his past is really way out there, at least the public persona that was created for him is. And it's probably true, a lot of it. But anyway, the thing is, I don't know, it just really struck me. And one of the reasons I'm sort of dancing around here is because I really was intending to look into it a little more before I talked about it. But you know how God is. And I think he wanted me to talk about it, and I'm going to tell you why. They say that the last song... Okay, thank you, Tana.
Okay, bye.
That's good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The last song that he did, for which this music video is called Lazarus. And I'm reading a British newspaper story. Now, the British media is kind of, not that different than other media, but anyway, they're sort of intentionally secular unless they have to talk about it. This story was talking about this last song, and it was almost like it was a message that was intended to be sent through David Bowie and his producer. And this story specifically mentioned that, you know, under review, you know, like Lazarus was a biblical character that Jesus raised from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. And it was a pretty, they could have just said, you know, Lazarus, the biblical character. But no, they specifically mentioned those details. And it didn't hedge. It didn't say Jesus was said to have raised. It said Jesus raised from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. Now, this is the wording in the article. And that really caught my attention because that's not the sort of story I expect to see any detail. Now, Bowie was known as a consummate showman, and I was not a fan. I mean, I wasn't. I mean, never paid that. What I'm saying is, I didn't pay that much attention to him one way or the other. But I know that he was considered quite artful and masterful, not only in his music, but in particular in all of the packaging, and he was creative in every detail of his work. And when I read the story, I'm hoping to see the video at some point. I don't know if it's released or not, but my first impression was it was almost like he had 6 heart attacks and emergency heart surgery. And I'm almost wondering if he had some kind of a near-death experience, because the way the video is depicted, he's in a bed and he's blindfolded with pretend eyes, make-believe eyes. And then he raises up, his bodily raised up off the dead, you know, like Exorcist movie style. But after he does, his blindfold is taken off, and apparently he dances around or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, it almost sounded like a depiction of a near-death experience to me. And I'm wondering if he had an awakening near the end of his life where he was depicting and sending a message, "You're going to find me in heaven." So I'm not entirely sure. I don't know why the Lord drew my attention to this, but I have to tell you one other thing that has prompted me to talk about it tonight. I put in the show title, and I even questioned myself when I did this, right? It's really not the title, but the text box. I wrote Lazarus, January 18th, because it was the date set I just explained, and birthdays. And I'm not even going to get into the birthday thing. I actually... I want to ponder that a little bit more, and I'm not sure. I need to go through it and double-check a couple of things, but let's just say it's on my mind, it's birthdays. Let's just call them biblical birthdays for now. And but I was sitting there amazed at myself that I had typed a pop culture reference, even though it's biblical, as the first thing in the text box for the show tonight. And I asked God, I said, "Is this really what you want? Is this all you want in here?" He said, "Yeah." So he didn't say yeah. He said yes. But anyway, I put that in, and I did that all. I was not quite 3 hours before the show started tonight, and then had dinner with the family. And then the girls are like, "Well, you know, let's watch something." And it took about 10 or 15 minutes to decide what we were going to watch. And, you know, I didn't have too much of an opinion. And we talked about it around and around. And I said, "Well, anyway." And so one of the daughters is pulling it up on Netflix. And she says, "Well, how about if we watch this show, an old TV series, okay, sci-fi thing?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's okay." And she actually pulls one up, and the episode starts, and it happens to be one I'm familiar with. And it really, I knew that it had some content in it that I didn't want to, normally in this show I don't have any concerns, but this particular show was very out of the ordinary, and it's got some content in it. I didn't think it was the thing for us to watch. And so she said, "Okay, what else?" "Well, okay, so another episode." And then she said, she's mentioned one other one, and I'm like, "Okay, sorry, no, I don't like that storyline." That happened to be another one that I'd seen. I mean, I've seen a lot of these, but, you know, I mean, it just, she happened to read, she could, I mean, I don't know, they've done a ton of these shows, and most of them I would have had no objection to. And I'm like, how is it that she's managing to pick two that I would specifically mention, "Yeah, probably not that one." And then she just picked one up. I said, "Just, you know, any other one, I don't care." And so she's going through, she starts one. We watched the entire show. And it was fine, no problems, interesting, entertaining. And then the menu, when the show's over, the menu comes up again. And I look at the screen, and I see the name of the show. And the name of the show had the word, the name Lazarus in it. Well, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
And so I knew that, because I had nothing to do with the selection of the show. I had, other than there were two others that I said, no, not really. And I had just, you know, an hour and a half or whatever before that, just typed Lazarus into the text box for the show, and I was even questioning that I was going to mention it. So what I'm saying is I don't have any facts. I just, other than I was just led to do this, and he's leading me to point it out and mention it. And it has to be him, because I'm kind of anti-pop culture. And so when something sort of, when I, something out of pop culture is, you know, I'm provoked to mention that here on the show, or I only do it because I know he's in it. So interesting thing. There's a lot more that I don't know about this. But he definitely has led me into it, and this is all the 18th and things. And then there is one other thing that I want to kind of follow up on about things that have come on today. But there were a couple other things today that were, you know, just flirts. And I haven't sort of, you know, it's like I'm back in, almost back into garage world. And honestly, my spirit, that's not where he has me. I don't know, maybe he's trying to drag me back into the garage. I don't know, the kid's garage. Maybe he is. I don't know. I'm not, you know, it's not my favorite thing right now. I can tell you that much. And but because I'm just preoccupied about the Blind Mask, Carol, is that Lazarus video, I think. He's got an ace bandage wrapped around his face over his eyes, and then they've got buttons on the ace bandage where his roughly where his eyes would be, and and so then the thing that they mentioned in this article specifically 4 days. Now, he died, you know, this morning or whatever. I don't know. Today was the first news of it. But they only released the album 2 days ago. So 2 days from the release of the album, of which the song Lazarus is the last song he did ever, 4 days from that is the 13th. So I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, lots of flirts and attention, and there's some other stuff that some flirts that caught my attention. With Tana's things, that came up this evening, or you know, in about the same time frame. In fact, I was sitting at my dinner. I typed that in the show, and in the show text box. Tana, while I'm eating, is sending texts about her insights about 2015 and 16, being 8 and 9. And I tell you, it did impress me, because when she said that 2015 to 16 is, you know, add up to 8 and 9, and then I realized, and she mentioned the Julian, and so then I did the math on the Julian, of course, pretty obvious, it's the 13th, is the transition day. And then immediately what came to my mind was the picture of the meat cleaver cutting down and everything after the 8 turned to black and faded away, which very much is reminiscent of our expected poofing disappearance. So I have to say, I'm like I said, I was a little bit emotional. I have emotions for several reasons right now that we've been churned up in the last few hours. And all I can do is just tell you kind of how I got there. There's also some personal stuff. It just, but imagine, obviously, the storyline of the show that we watched, you know, had some rough reference to a resurrection or a, well, whatever, a kind of like that. But anyway, the storyline wouldn't have been named that. It was not about a character named Lazarus. It was about the storyline of the episode. So, Carol's saying, okay, one thing I got from the David Bowie story is not to judge. So I was just going to let you on, Carol. So I'll let you go here. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Carol. I hope Rojo can hear us now. She's been behind.
She's struggling.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I was gonna type in what I got, and I should have realized it was a flirt that the Lord gave us, you, me, and maybe other people regarding David Bowie's death. Because, as I started digesting it, you know, I just kind of like put it off, like, oh Lord, I hope you have mercy on him, you know, because you know, he really had a sordid career, if you will, right? We know that.
Yeah.
But there aren't very many people of his caliber, you know, celebrities of his caliber, that mention heaven and that mention Lazarus.
So let me just interrupt briefly here. Fought back from 6 heart attacks to make final album. On Drudge Report, they have a picture of the publication The Sun from Britain, from London.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
the bold print quote they have on the cover with one of his album cover depictions. Look up here, I'm in heaven. That's the quote.
Yeah, and why would he say that, right?
That was what now?
Why would he say that?
Well,
why
that's,
would he
yeah,
say
and,
that?
And,
he, you know, because. And let me tell you why. When Freddie Mercury was dying, right? He died of AIDS, and when he was dying, he was the main singer of the group Queen. He wrote what is it called? Something Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody, which you know went off the charts. And it was really a magnificent piece of work. Now in it, and I really mean magnificent, because if you read the words, if you look at the lyrics, he's fighting with Satan, because he had sold his soul to the devil, and he wanted to take it back, and he couldn't, and he was. And he called them, whatever, you know. Anyways, he's fighting with it back and forth, and he knows that he gives in, and of course he dies. He really dies, but he never makes any mention of asking God to help him to. You know, save him, Lord, save me. He regrets everything. He hates his life, what it became. But he finally, you know, he ends the song with nothing really matters. Nothing really matters at all, right? Now, unlike David Bowie, why would David Bowie, if he was in such a dark place? For all of his life, why would he say heaven? Why would he? And you know, we know the story of Lazarus. Lazarus died and was stinky. He was dead 3 days before the Lord resurrected him. But he resurrected. And it, and maybe he knew, you know, maybe he had, you know, a personal awakening that he just knew the Lord touched him at the end. We don't know. But I know that because he mentioned heaven, because he mentioned Lazarus, all I know is the Lord was telling me, be careful not to judge. Don't just judge somebody because of their life, because we don't know how, you know, how the Lord will touch them or when the Lord will touch them. And, you know, again, like I said, Freddie Mercury never mentioned God, never mentioned, you know, repentance, like, Lord, you know, get me out of this mess that I put myself into. You know, I regret everything. Nothing. It's like he really could not, even if he wanted to. He was a done deal. Yes, David Bowie, who, for all intents and purposes, was no different in his lifestyle than Freddie Mercury, as far as, you know, the career is, he mentioned heaven. So we don't know. And then we know there's so many religious people that, you know, that are phonies. And they mention God and how God loves us and how God wants us to prosper and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We know the story. And yet the Lord is very clear. He is very clear who's going to get a huge whooping and who's going to be spit out of his mouth if they don't repent. And it's the religious people. So it's interesting, you know, that I'm glad you brought it up, Jerry, because as far as I'm concerned, it was, you know, yeah, it was something the Lord wanted us to pay attention to. Remember, I initially ignored it, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, but then I saw that, you know, I saw, and interesting, he had the bandage over his eyes, right?
Right, yeah. Like he was blind.
And, right, and in the,
he was blind.
And in the story of Lazarus, when he resurrects, they have to take off the bandages.
And he was with the bandages in this music video about the song Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
It has. By the way, Judy's called in. She's on the line. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
She's muted.
Okay.
This song Lazarus. Although Judy, you're unmuted if you want to unmute. This song Lazarus, they are very specifically saying it was the last song he did. And they are releasing details about that music video and at least still shots. And he's got bandages over his eyes. He can't see through those, but he has buttons for eyes, like they're fake. But then he has this experience where he raises off the bed. And when he raises off the bed, apparently after that, he gets up and is dancing and he no longer has bandages on. Like his eyes aren't covered anymore and he can see. And then the video closes with him. Somehow he starts out in a cabinet, comes out of the cabinet, ends up in bed, in like a hospital bed. And then, but at the very end of the video, he goes back into the cabinet like he really dies. But it was a very artful way to depict the blinders coming off. Now, you know, the only other thing, there's two things that I want to add to that. First of all, his current wife made a post today, and the last thing it said was, God is real. And
really?
Now this girl has a completely Muslim name, okay, totally Muslim name. So I don't know anything, but it doesn't matter because she said God is real,
and she didn't say Allah is real, so that's good.
Yeah, it's right, it's true. And the other thing I wanted to mention was something about Bowie's career, which I couldn't have told you one way or the other. But this is what I'm reading, and this reading, and the thing that really, he was already a highly popular, very well-known artist, but he was, the estimation of him in his artfulness dramatically jumped, and it made him a superstar when he did, when he created a character called Ziggy Stardust.
Uh-huh.
And Ziggy Stardust was a rock and roll alien. And he was also not really androgynous, but, you know, he kind of went both ways. And I believe a lot of that was honestly marketing on his part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
And from what I've seen at the moment here. But but anyway, my point is, I don't know, there's something about that. And you know, part of it was just, well, let's just put it this way. He had tried to appeal, in my opinion, he was trying to appeal to everybody. And then later on there was Ziggy Goes to America, and he became a glam rock megastar. So, you know, he created this character, and he was always creating characters and identities, okay, and did a lot better than Madonna. But and the whole story isn't really important. I just thought that really caught my attention when the first time I saw it. And this whole thing about him and his album and releasing it literally 2 days before his death, his album was released. The story is they knew they planned this ahead of time. They knew it was going to happen for over a year. So the fact that it's not coincidental. They say it's not coincidental. However, the fact that the last song is about Lazarus is, and from what details I have drawn out of this music video about this song, it really caught my attention. So, you know, I am not one to really get into discussion of anything in popular culture. However, I was prompted to do it. And, you know, I kind of knew I was being prompted to do it when I wrote Lazarus in the text box for the show tonight. But and then he gave me a confirmation by that TV episode. We watched his TV episode that was selected by somebody else. We watched the whole thing. I had no idea what the name of the episode was. The menu pops up, and I see that the name of the episode, after the show is over, the menu pops up, and I see that the name of the episode included the name Lazarus. And I was just, like, blown away. So, Lord is doing a lot of flirts right now with me. Tana, just before that, was sending out these texts, which were really cool, about 2015 and 16, being January 8 and 9, and so on and so forth. So, and a lot of this, even this David Bowie thing, if you take the 4 days, which is what the story said, what I'm sort of saying in here is that because of the respect of the artist, I believe they reported what the producer wanted him to say and didn't edit it out. And the producer clearly told him, you know, Lazarus is the story, the man who was dead in the tomb for 4 days and was raised to life by Jesus. And so 4 days from the date of the release of the album is the 13th, which we've been led to in two or three different ways now to talk about. So I don't know what that means. It's definitely a signpost. There's no doubt about it. And all of a sudden, I'm back in flirt and garage mode. There's a couple other things I haven't talked about. I did talk about some of the stuff, and I talked about something yesterday, right? You know, I was talking about garage work yesterday. This is not my, and I was having an experience about that and watching those Disney short movies, and the number six, it was the time, 6:43, and the phrase out of two different ones said perfect time. By the way, these shorts were not made all at the same time, okay? But they were collected into their own thing over time. their own menu item, if you will. So we'll see. Definitely has got my attention, and quite frankly, you know, I keep saying I'm really not in the mood to do garage work. I've got a lot of other things I'm thinking about, I'm doing because of this break, and the college break is still on, and really kind of one girl's back in school, but two of them are not, and so we're really still having an extended family kind of time and holiday period, and it's been really great, and we've been sharing some very important things with each other, and good times, and it's been really cool. And you know, honestly, I'm just not that focused on the garage work, and I don't feel compelled to it, but he's laying it out in front of me anyway, so here we are. It's pretty extraordinary, although I can't tell you for sure I know what it means, and the truth is I'm not asking him what it means. Because I know that I'm just going to have to wait and let it play out, regardless of what he tells me. I can only. This has been a very, very deep emotional journey for me for lately and for quite a while, and. So, I'm not holding it back, but I'm not sticking it out there either right now. So, I'm just sort of walking along and trying to take it day by day and embracing the positives as best I can. And walking through all these other things, I see stuff all around me. And when I say that, I'm really talking about us and the people we're in contact with. I couldn't care less about the messages in the world because most of it's just a rotten script anyway. But but we do see things progressing. But you know what really tells me that is the power of God working in people's lives. And even if it's opening us up to challenges, Rosemary says, run, Jerry, run, or the garage will draw you in. Yeah, like a giant sucking vortex. I don't despise the garage. I love the garage. I had a passion for it for a long time. I don't have that passion right now. But I see him pouring things out in front of me, and I know that I should pursue them. And he gave me enough confirmation. I could not believe the title of that show that we watched was about Lazarus. I sat there, I typed in Lazarus, and I'm like, seriously, you're going to make a – I mean, because I was just like, okay, everything's about David Bowie today. And I'm like, no, I'm not going there. And then it's like, you know what? It was touching my spirit. So if this is not really about David Bowie, I want to discuss the fact that his last song was Lazarus and what I was gleaning out of the details that I do know or was told about that video. So we'll see. But there's a lot going on, and that's around us. And, Iran, North Korea, Hillary Clinton, who gives a flying poop? I don't. But I really don't. I mean, you know, I've been watching this stage show, and these things build to this one world order plan of this, that, and the other thing. I mean, really, honestly, it's a really bad stage show, and I'm sorry that by participating in society, I've actually paid for a ticket because, you know, it's a bunch of hogwash. And, you know, how much of it's real and how much – the one important thing to remember is that God's in control. He promised he would bring out the secrets of these people who are clandestinely messing with everybody's existence. And and so we're seeing that happen. We also know that these people work through sort of a secret society network where their primary motivation to participate in this is selfish and along the lines of putting themselves ahead of everybody else. And that system only works, it's the original pyramid scheme, and that system only works, if you want to know what the cap of the pyramid stands for, and like on the back of the money, those are the elites running everybody else who's in the pyramid. That's mm-hmm. basically a depiction of that model. And it's not God. It's them representing themselves as God with whatever, you know, Luciferian influence they have. However, the point is that that system only works if the people who consider themselves elite and are in the upper echelons can maintain their exclusivity, which means the overwhelming majority of the people in the world are not in on it. And to the degree that the system is exposed and frittered away at through God's will, their ability to do what they want to do is compromised. The manner in which God is going to do this, the speed at which God is going to do it, I don't know. But what I do know is, you know, I really don't care. You know, if a bomb goes off, I don't really care who did it because they did it. I don't need to know what the nationality of the person was. I don't need to know what the country's name on the undamaged passport of the person who was blown to smithereens was. I don't need to know, you know, who supposedly did this or that. All I know is that it's all part of an intended script to the extent that they can carry out their own plans. So they can go take a flying leap, as far as I'm concerned, and so can every news story. That's just my personal opinion. Now, some of it does indicate that things are ramping up. Definitely see where they're going. It's like in football, the defensive backs try to watch where the quarterback looks as an indication of where he's going to throw the ball. And so we are watching them sort of quarterback, if you will, the news and world events, and that is giving us a clue as to where they're going to go and closer idea as to what might be next. So this is all, you know, in that respect, it's somewhat telling. But honestly, my passion, my emotion, any concern I have for things where I am led personally is to simply keep my focus on how God leads me, and I would keep my focus personally on the people around me. And because he hasn't called me, you know, into the FBI or journalism or any other thing. Well, I guess you could argue this is slightly journalism, but he hasn't editorialism anyway. But you know, my concern in my daily walk is how he leads me and processing the challenges he lays right in my feet, because I know that he has opened the door for those things, and that's what I have to focus on. And clearly, he's being a major flirt. You know, if God was a sailor, he'd been slapped several times by now, as far as I'm concerned, because he's flirting all over the place.
Good one.
So we'll see. Anyway, we're about to end our live time. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to share before we head on out the door?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give Judy a minute here to see if she has anything she wants to add. But, you know,
Thank you, Terry. It was really nice. My brother and I are listening.
Oh, awesome.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Pat.
Don.
Pat, you're going to keep us posted, right? I got your last email.
Yeah, I will. I'll find out more tomorrow.
You have a lot of prayers going out, and it's going to be okay.
Oh, no. Thank God. Yeah.
And I'm really sorry.
It'll be okay.
I'm really sorry you're having to go through that. I'm very sorry, honey.
But Jesus is so close to me. I can feel his presence. And he says, trust me. Because when I was really, I looked at him, he says, trust me. Like, trust me through all this.
I know.
There's a reason all
but
this
I
is
love
happening.
You.
She's learning lessons, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's, we hope she does.
I hope
she does. Yeah,
but she said the doctors are trying to scare me. They said I have to have a liver transplant. I said, no, they're not trying to scare you. They're just being truthful. You know,
right.
She thought
that
was a scare thing.
They have to tell her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're barbecuing burgers and about to take Marty out.
Oh, yummy.
My brother's here. He's going to do school with Nate tomorrow.
Hi, thank you for everything.
Oh,
guys.
My brother's saying hi.
Thanks for all those emails, you guys.
Hi, Don.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yep.
You're
so
welcome.
Anyway, yeah, I don't really have anything to share. I've been. He's coming.
Okay.
We'll get this. We're at here. Woohoo!
We're getting there. I got one toe out the door.
Oh.
And one toe out the door.
Oh.
Here. Okay, let's see. Anybody have a song they want to hear? Close everything out.
Can you play some Coldplay? They're going to be playing at the Super Bowl if we're here.
Oh, really? Okay, let's see what we got. I don't know. Yep, okay, here we go. See
thank
you later.
You.
In the air.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,